Welcome once again to another fantastic episode of the Business Creators Radio Show. We help business creators like you win at the game of business and marketing so you can thrive from your intersection of your brilliance and your passion and make a difference for your community, market, and audience. Please take a moment and visit our website, www.businesscreatorsradioshow.com. You'll find hundreds of episodes covering a breadth and depth of topics relevant to you as a business creator, and links to subscribe via your favorite network so you get fresh episodes delivered straight to you. And now, here's today's episode. Let's get started.
My name is Adam Homey. I am your host, and I am honored once again by your wise decision to tune in and invest in yourself today. The Business Creators Radio Show goes where you go to capture those aha moments and experience those mastermind opportunities that move you ever closer to your intersection of your brilliance and your passion. Today, you may hear an air conditioner ambiently buzzing in the background because we are broadcasting to you from beautiful, sunny Las Vegas, Nevada, known to some, at least me, as the hottest city in America. And it's hot today. So I have my air conditioner running, and the unit is actually two levels down from me, but you can hear it from here. But when you're having these mastermind moments, what do you hear? You hear birds chirping, cars driving by, conversation from the next table. So again, we're from the field. We go where you go. And this is all about opening you to the opportunities that stand before you. One of which is a topic that I actually checked. We've never done this on Business Creators Radio Show before. Yes, I know we're primarily an entrepreneurial podcast. However, we do have a segment of avid listeners who are interested in career-related topics. And when you think about it, career-related topics, career development, job seeking is very important in the entrepreneurial space, particularly for those who would like to have a career working for more of an entrepreneurial type organization than a corporate type organization. The story I like to tell very briefly, then we're going to introduce our amazing guest. And I can tell you, this guy's chomping at the bit. I mean, I had to tell him we were in the green room and the conversation was going on and on and on. I said, the listeners are waiting. We got to do this. Anyway, you're going to love this guy. Anyway, when I completed my MBA from Duquesne University in human resource management as my concentration, my goal was to become the training and development director for a Fortune 100. I never got there. I did get job offers from smaller companies that weren't officially hiring, but liked what I had to say when I contacted them through my networking efforts enough that they were interested in creating positions for me. So today, we're going to discuss how to tap into the hidden job market. And to share with us this journey, we have with us somebody, as I said, you are going to be enthralled with. His name is Anish Majumdar. And let me just tell you a little bit about him. He is a career coach, an expert in the hidden job market. For the past 12 years, he's helped thousands of professionals around the world take the reins of their professional destiny and break free from the necessity of job searching permanently. You may have seen him in Fast Company, Business Insider, Glassdoor, and Ivy Exec. He lives with his wife and three children in Rochester, New York. Anish, come on in. The weather's fine.
What is going on, Adam? And just so you know, brother, I've got, you know, I'm in New York, but I've got the AC going here as well. So we are kindred spirits when it comes to the necessity of relying on that. But super, super, super excited to be here. Really excited to feed hopefully a little bit of aha magic into the ears every single one of your amazing listeners, man. I'm really excited about this.
Absolutely. So what we'd like to do here is you have a very impressive background. I read a snippet of your bio already. It's so impressive. I'm not sure if I'm worthy to be here. We're on my show. So what we'd like to do is before we dive into, and I know you have a lot of points you're hoping we have time to cover today, tell us a bit in your own words about your journey and what's actually brought you to where you are today, serving business creators from your intersection of your brilliance and your passion.
Well, I appreciate the question. I would love to say that the journey towards career coaching, which is something I've done for now a little over 12 years, came from a bolt of inspiration. It actually didn't at all. I would say where that inspiration came, you know, originally I was 16, 17, acting, you know, theater, film and TV, all in my 20s. That was the first thing. That was what was, for a very shy, introverted kid growing up with a mom with schizophrenia, with immense amounts of pressure to conform, the ability to realize, oh, you can be anything on a stage. You can give voice to any emotion. That was absolutely transformative. That was the first one. That eventually became and naturally grew into writing. I was a journalist for over 10 years, investigative journalism, writing feature articles, understanding, hey, people in power, people in positions of authority, wait a minute, they're no different from me or you. It's all about taking a different approach in terms of how you build that relationship, how you choose to add that value. So that, you know, kind of built up a pathway there. My novel, The Isolation Door, it came out in 2014. And honestly, I got to tell you, this whole thing with the career stuff was a sideline. It was, hey, something to pay the bills. And what changed it was I remember picking up the phone, speaking to a 54-year-old named Arthur, who was an architect, had done brilliant award-winning work in New York City for many years. He was basically in tears. We were ostensibly there for me to help him with his quote-unquote job search. But really what it became was in some sense, this fork in the road for this gentleman who realized, hey, you know what? Have I actually made every wrong mistake? I was told, get the degree. I was told, keep your head down. I was told, suck up to the boss. I was told, avoid uncomfortable conversations about ownership or taking a greater degree of ownership. And now look at me. I'm about to get thrown out. There's people who are, you know, chomping at the bit, 20, 30 years younger, you know, than I am. I feel like a failure. And in that moment, I didn't have an answer to it then. It took me many years before, you know, the answer and ultimately the system would come together. But I made a promise to myself to say, hey, you know what? There's got to be something better in our lives than chasing after all of this garbage only to be tossed out onto the scrap heap of these low-level gatekeepers, these morons with these ATS systems and these resumes. And I don't know if it's possible, by the way, because all I'd been told, like maybe you've been told and many of you listening, is, oh, you know, networking is this nebulous thing, or guess what? It's not for you. I come from lower middle-class stuff. I can tell you it is for everyone. And just to quickly just, you know, hammer this idea in, the hidden job market is just a fancy way to represent every single opportunity, role, anything that can change your life that doesn't make it into the scrapyard or the graveyards of Monster Indeed. Those are representative of the last 20%, the oldest, the day-old bread. That's what you're seeing there. 80% of all roles, 90% estimated of all executive roles are getting filled way before that. So if you're looking at your career prospects and you're taking the lazy man's approach of saying, hey, you know what? Where I'm going to go is entirely based on the job postings that I see. A, start by multiplying that by a factor of 8 to 10 and then start taking some responsibility for the full scope of what is out there. That might start the process of people getting a little bit less, shall we say, default victimized, and a little bit more, you know, default excited about the fact that, oh, if I stop thinking, how do I break into a company, and I start thinking about how do I break in on an individual level, my God, you will never run out of opportunities for the rest of your life, right? That changed everything. That became what we do, which is professionals who specialize in taking people who are at a crossroads, teaching them, hey, before you put your hat in the ring in the way that you think, instead of becoming something different, take a entrepreneurial approach to this problem so that the business of getting offers becomes cheap, it becomes easy, it becomes fast, and for the first time in your life, you can actually say, oh, I chose this role. When most people say that, by the way, Adam, let's be honest. Oh, I chose this role. What do you mean you chose this role? You haven't had an interview in 6 months. This was an interview that your wife pushed you out for that you thought you already had overgrown, but you were feeling desperate. You accepted it. They made you wait for 2.5 months while your kids couldn't afford daycare. And now you took something. So don't tell me that you chose something, pal. Don't tell me that there was any choice in any of this. And I'm seeing this, brother, everywhere. I'm seeing it right at the C-suite level. I'm seeing people who have the money and all of this stuff, but their standards and their methodology haven't changed. They're just as much prisoners as they were 10 or 15 years ago. Because if you can't, if I can fire you right now and you cannot go out there and generate something as good or better, I have you. There's nothing that you can do about it. Don't lie to yourself.
Yeah, well, my early experiences told me that a lot of it, candidly, was a scam. I did temp work in human resources. As you heard me say, my concentration for my MBA was human resource management. And one of my ways that I was willing to consider towards achieving that training and development director role was to work my way through the HR system. And time again, I found out that the vast majority of jobs that are advertised have already been filled even before the ad is placed.
The irony of that, of course, is that, you know, the you're right that there's this whole issue with these roles. But to look at it also another way, if you look at, let's use that HR example, right? If we look at someone who, let's say, is a little bit further along that path, you know, I'll often work with people who are specialists there. You know, I worked with Maria, who really wasn't, considered herself an outsider in that field, but not because of not being effective. Ask yourself this, okay, however many or few or how hard it may be to get HR roles this way, right? Which is trying to impress the gatekeepers, trying to get kicked up, you know, into that second round of consideration, fine. Take away the word HR for a second. Ask yourself at the business leadership level, at the only level that really matters, okay? How many of these people are concerned with talent bleed, losing their best people? Almost everyone. How many of them are concerned that their best people are going to get poached? Almost everyone. How many of them are the concern of galvanize what the purpose of HR, which, by the way, if you're in HR, the way you should be thinking about yourself should have nothing to do with HR. It should be about this. What are you truly paid for? At your best, you are paid to do things like give us a better talent organization that performs better, has higher retention. Well, that pain is everywhere, right? So the question becomes, maybe I should stop looking for only those situations where people have already thought, hey, we have an HR problem. We have an HR manager problem. We have this. Maybe I should start talking to the people who are actually trying to grow this business, because talking their language, getting to understand what's going on with them and aligning to that is going to enable me to make that change happen on the people level far more easily. In other words, I can construct something, a solution around myself far more easily by talking people at a different level of this problem, right? That's not a commentary on your ability to get that HR job, Adam. That is entirely based on your willingness to understand what are you truly getting paid for and what are you willing to do about it, you know? And with all due respect, you've got to look at it from that side. Most people don't see the true... I can tell you after 12 years of working with HR people, most leaders have no idea what someone at the height of that do. They think that basically an HR person is a glorified corporate, you know, cover your ass person, basically. Like, you know, you just you protect the executive suite. Please don't do anything meaningful. You have no role to play strategically. And then basically when I can replace you with something cheaper, preferably software, ideally, I'm going to do it. But that's not what you do. That's the challenge. That's the changing that perception of how you're coming across is step one in changing the types of conversations and the types of relationships you're going to build. Because again, the people we're talking about, they're not interested in talking to you as Mr. HR, you know, please let me beg you for a job. They would be very willing to talk to you if you were willing to understand what's going on, if you were willing to listen to what were happening, if you were willing to start the process of potentially helping them as best you can. Yeah, there's a lot of things that you can do there. But I'm spilling the secrets here in terms of a way that anyone can start activating this. I don't even have a BA, Adam. I'm a theater school dropout. Everything I did in my career as a journalist, as an actor, as a published author, as a career coach, I did on the streets, client to client, person to person. So I'm telling you, if it works for me, it's going to work to absolutely everyone. And for people like you, it could be 50 times faster.
Okay, I can tell that this is really something you haven't put a lot of thought into.
Well, are you hearing me though, brother? Because I know you listen to a lot of people. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Because the job of getting ahead isn't just a question of, you know, boo-hoo, corporate America is bad and the hiring process is bad. There's a strain of straight up cowardice running through America right now, running through corporate America, where people are bloviating about freedom, but they're not willing to take that responsibility when it comes to leaving behind that job, right? They're not willing to take that responsibility when it comes to leaving behind that boss. So don't tell me that it's not entirely me or you or our expertise that has the power to change anyone's lives, right? Not unless you have something more, right? And I'm not seeing that, quite frankly. I'm not seeing that out there. I would like to see more courage. People having some balls, quite frankly.
Even with the great resignation?
Oh, come on, give me a break, dude.
All right.
Use whatever phrase you want, dude. I started in 2008. That was today's excuse. Listen to me. There is never going to be a better time for you to radically up-level what you can do than right now, because what you want right now is people asking questions. What you want right now are leaders, the people that have that power, to be doubting themselves, to say, hey, you know what? We've just gone through 2 years where we were relying on event management. We cannot rely on that whatsoever. So what are we going to do? That's an opportunity for someone in marketing, in growth, in anything front-facing, to say, hey, let's invest in this, because this is a way that we can reinvent for the short and the long term. Now is the time. You mean to tell me, just think about it from a human nature point of view. Do you really think it's that situation is going to be better when it's boom time again, right? Assuming that happens. It's boom time again. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry has some unearned sense of confidence in what they can do. They think they're great. They can't lose. Do you really think you're going to have as good of an opportunity to arc into that pain, to identify what is truly going on here, what's keeping this person up at night, when everyone thinks that they're a winner and everyone's gonna succeed? Give me a break. You need pain. There needs to be a reason to hire you that's beyond simply, oh, let me bring another Joe Schmo in here, right? Because otherwise you're just a line item, right? You're just a cost. That's not me telling you that as a career coach. That's me telling you that as a business owner. What do you have for me? What do you have? What can you speak to? There are things that are keeping me up at night. There are every single business leader I'm speaking to right now, and I've been in that hiring room. They are up at night, but they're not waiting for Mr. Pitcher and Mr. Presenter. I hate to say that. They're waiting for someone else.
Yeah, well, that, you know, I've learned over the years to blame it all on those lazy millennials now, because that is such a cliche. And I've contributed a chapter to a book called Journeys to Success, the Millennial Edition. I myself am on the tail end of Gen X, and you know, I was raised by baby boomers. They were raised by the greatest generation. And then after the millennials, you have your Gen Zs and a few others that I can't remember what they all are. But here's what I believe happened, and this is going to tie into a bit of my personal story. The millennials, let's just use that term because it represents the breakpoint that I'm highlighting here, were the first generation to, as pretty much an expectation of daily life, have access to high-speed internet and the ability to query search engines to gather information that challenged the assumptions that had been handed down from generation to generation to generation through patterning and lack of information to challenge the narrative. So the connotation of the millennial, which is completely erroneous, is somebody who's lazy, entitled, it's all about them, they only want to do what makes them feel good, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. No. Your millennial and downward are those who, in my estimation, are the type who want to feel that the work that they do, whether it's the business that they own, the business of which you're a proprietor, or in their career path or their job, want to feel that they are vested in the success of the venture and are both gaining and receiving return on investment. They want to feel like the world is a better place as a result of the work they do. They are programmed by the way they were raised and the access to information they had, which was unprecedented, to challenge the status quo, to raise questions, to dismiss the idea that something should be done because it's the way we've always done it. Now, what's happened is that, you know, for millennials and younger, they are now the absolute majority of the entrepreneurial space, the workplace, the career space. So that trend has pretty much permeated its way into how effective business runs these days. Now, what's gone even one step further is you still have a lot of Gen Xers like me. You still have a lot of baby boomers in the workplace, and the baby boomers are sticking around longer than previous generations stuck around in the workplace. And they're looking at this and they're saying, hey, I want to exchange return on investment. I want to feel like my work is valuable. I want to feel like I make a difference. I want to be innovative. I don't want to do something just because somebody on some org chart tells me that's the way it's always been done. And to me, that's the real disruptor, which happened right under our noses while we were debating the great resignation, the bubbles popping, and 401ks and pension plans disappearing.
You know, if I can share a little tip that directly, you know, kind of goes to that, I think, and I do appreciate, you know, what you're saying about that. I hope that that is true. I've always, you know, I was born in 1980. I'll be honest with you. I've looked at my life always as a desperate, brutal struggle for some kind of meaning somewhere. And the people along that way station have just as likely been 58 as they've been 28, you know? I will tell you one problem that I see over again that can help all across the board, an idea whose time has expired. I would challenge everyone out there, regardless of what your career goal might be, whether you want to stake out on your own as a consultant, start your own business, whether you want to move from IT into a different industry, whether you want to leap up seniority level from management up to the VP, whatever. One of the most important things that you can do is to start the process of branding yourself around your own process versus some secondhand thing. Either it's, Amazon Silicon Valley certified developer or Fortune 500 Big Four accounting expert. All of those things are not working the way that they did before. And a big part of the reason why kind of goes to this idea. In our future, in what we're seeing out there, okay, the people who have the real freedom, the people who call the shots, it's not a question of size. It's not a question of how big britches and pants you wear in your industry. It is about, can you stand on your own two feet? No matter how humble it is, when I think of you, Adam, do I think of, oh, just some other candidate? Who the hell am I talking about? Or do I think of, he stands for something? It can be 50 ways. We can all brand ourselves 50, 60 different ways around a process, but do you have some kind of a point of view, right? Is there some way, an Adam Hami way of moving a business forward that might be it could be Adam Hami's HR done right, or Adam Hami's HR done against the grain of the 99% of fakos out there that comprise the human resources industry? It can be anything. It can be absolutely anything, right? It can be anything, but start the process of saying, what's my way? What's my way? And what's my way that incorporates all of the weird stuff that people who don't know about me keep telling me I should hammer out. I coach people in Silicon Valley all the time. There are some real idiots out there who are giving advice like, hey, pal, guess what? You've been in the IT industry for 6 years. Look at all this weird operations background, this other stuff. Listen, you should just delete all of that. No, you should not, because that makes you no more qualified than a six years out of college person. Your challenge should be, what is my way of moving this business forward that incorporates all of this and allows me to see this in a way that no one else can? To bring it into what I do, I'm not a career coach general. I couldn't care less about how your resume looks like for the sake of that resume. I only care about one thing, which is the ability of generating offers your way as quickly as humanly possible on your terms. Every other methodology is wrong. I'm not here to be a impartial academic here. I'm a straight up terrorist when it comes to the right way and the wrong way to do it. And if you don't believe me, keep trying it your way. The average here is 4 years right now that people are wasting in job search mode over the course of their career. That's a minimum. But by all means, please keep doing it that way, right? Please keep doing it the safe way, I guess, right? But that would be a huge one. Start branding yourself around a process. Stop looking for a dream job. Start looking for a dream company. I would say a far better indicator would be of how to get started on this, start benchmarking actual competitors, right? Job postings are lies. They're lies. Most of them, and Adam, you probably know this better than most people. If I'm trying to hire at a company, obviously I'm not going to put our dirty laundry up for public posting. So what am I going to do, right? Most of the time, we're going to be looking at other people's job postings. Sorry, dirty secret. Looking at other job postings, putting a bunch of absolute BS out there, and then you're interviewing. But the problem is, you might be the best candidate, but if you never are able to, this is one of the big problems with traditional interviewing. Let's say you go through this. You change your resume and your brand to ape this stupid job posting. Then we talk about it. You answer my made-up questions. Then you go to the interview too. So you're supposed to be so smart, but you never figured out what was really going on. You never figured out the real pain that's there. What, do you really think I'm ever going to respect you, dude? I mean, you say that you're an expert, but you don't know jack. That's the truth of it. So you're just another candidate. So nothing changed. If that in the hiring process, if you're not seeing this movement on both sides, you're identifying stuff they would rather not, they're coming to a better understanding of what they're really grappling with. And as you're leading them in, they're understanding, hey, Adam is the only person that every time I speak to him, he's allowing me to see this problem from a different way. That is the heart of a real leveraged fast offer. That is what is there. Not going to 5, 6, 7 interviews and coming up with gotcha questions. Again, I don't understand where a supposed freedom-obsessed country became so conformist. Really, I'm a Canadian, man. I became a U.S. citizen this year after living and paying taxes here since 2006, starting my family. I think I've got a right to say, hey, you know what? Something needs to change here, you know? A lot of talk about freedom, not where are the balls? And I mean that as a man or a woman. Where is it? Where are the chances being taken? Instead, we hear talk like this that I just heard from you, right? It's the great resignation, so why don't we sit on our butt, right? Why don't we use, there's always going to be something, right? We're about to go into a recession. Oh, I know. Jerome Powell just increased the interest rates. Ergo, I'm not allowed to find a better job or, you know, have some self-respect or some self-integrity.
I never said that.
I understand, but you understand how easy it is to say no, right? You understand how easy and simple it is. There's always going to be some smart person coming around giving you the cop-out reason, but life is short, man.
That part I'll agree with. You know, I see these memes from software developers who have developed relatively new scripts or use in information technology. And they go out and they find job postings for IT positions that require knowledge of the script or the language that they themselves created. And it'll say 5 years needed in a niche 3.0 scripting. And they'll say, you know, it's interesting. You're telling me that I need 5 years experience in this because I invented it 2 years ago, which right there tells you that. And I've heard from inside human resource departments and from hiring managers that job descriptions are in many cases more wish lists than anything else.
Here's another thing that I think, again, more people ought to know. You know, there was a quote, I forget who said it, but you know, I've remembered it ever since I read it, which went something along the lines of the future is already here, but it's just not evenly distributed. Here, let me give you an example of that. I had been told as a job seeker long before I became a career coach, and then for many years as a career coach. Anish? These darn ATS systems, you know, these applicant tracking systems, your resume, your applications are you've got to find a way to play with these automation software here because otherwise, you know, you're not going to move it through. Okay. So here's a dirty secret. There is a percentage of leaders in every industry right now, including our clients, where they don't, not only do they not have to worry about automation, our in-house platform, for example, we're one of a few, but our in-house platform actually enables you to deploy our in-house automation to basically piggyback off of LinkedIn, control and manage all the relationship building, all the outgoing messages, all the setup to a call, all the follow-ups that you need. So, and this is going on all over the place. Is it fair? Of course it's not fair, but you have to know about it, right? You have to know that it's even possible to do something differently. I didn't, and I would be considered a power user of LinkedIn to the max, but I didn't know. I'd been using LinkedIn and Sales Navigator for years before people deep in the industry started like pegging me in. Like, Anish, think about it. Like, if you're like a CEO, right, and you're ramping up a search, obviously you don't have 30 hours a week to spend on this. And what are you going to do? You're going to trust some stranger, some third-party recruiter to do the handling? If you've got 20 minutes a day, you've got to use that wisely, right? So these programmers and all of this, what I'm saying is, the rules are not the same. The rules are completely unequal right now. And the advantage right now is that for those who are fed up, for those who are willing to embrace different ways, the great advantage we have of our time is that all of the big organizations, all of the big untouchable things are now forced to, with the right leverage, combat against individuals. There was a time, I'm an actor, there was a time when being an actor was the greatest job ever. It's the most miserable job now because movie stars have to battle it out with idiots on YouTube and stuff like that. They have to fight on Twitter. Presidents have to get into battles with nobodies on Twitter, basically. Why? What is going on here? You see how the usage and the utilization of this world is giving people who have the ability, who have the courage, unfair stakes. So what I can do for you is I can say, look, it doesn't, whatever your qualifications are, whatever your matchup may be, quote unquote, with your marketplace, if we can set it up so that your brand is operating in a place that is going to resonate powerfully with the only people that matter, you're dialoguing only with them. I've taken all of the legwork out of it. So this is basically happening on autopilot. I've trained you on how to have that conversation so you know how to avoid all of this gotcha interview crap and actually move into it to identify that pain. And you know how to simply negotiate this. Then you're set, basically. I mean, not you're set, but man, you can roll that for the rest of your life. And if you wanted to dip your hat into the real realm of traditional hiring, now for the first time, you have other things to play, right? You can understand, hey, if I have a 5-minute opening in this interview, I understand that I'm not going to lob a softball question here, right? I need to understand and put together what I've understand to go in. Anyone can do this stuff, but it's kind of like, my 8-year-old son loves skateboarding, and I loved it, but I was, quite frankly, a coward when I was a kid, so I never learned it, right? So even now, when I go to a skate park, I love it. I see all of these kids doing these amazing moves. I see my son starting to learn it, but with all due respect, he's 8, and he has the cuts and the scars, joyfully, and the smiles on his face. He earned it, right? And if you're not willing to dust yourself up a little bit, if you're not willing to be thought of as a fool, or to be thought of as ridiculous, or to be, God forbid, kicked out of a office or kicked out of a call, who cares? Who cares? That's just one person. You're just one person, and your life is going to be over before you know it. And all you really need is one yes. So what are we doing playing things so safe? What are we doing? I don't honestly know, you know? I mean, it's literally the gold rush out there, and the only thing that's stopping it are these false, disempowering narratives about how sad it is, how bad it is out there, how you're just one of many. It's like, man, they really did a good number on you, didn't they?
Yeah.
I mean this metaphorically, but Adam, I want to be very clear about that. You know what I mean? I mean, we're being real here, right? We're not just sharing good to know information that makes, you know, insecure people feel good for 5 minutes so they can go on with their life, right? We're actually trying to see that if they have the capability to make a change, right? Otherwise, what's the point? Yeah.
You know, you mentioned earlier resumes and how, you know, we see a drop off posting and we change our resume to make it match, and we would go through this down this whole path of inauthenticity, which, yeah, I would respect that if I knew that what was going on as a hiring manager or decision maker, because I mean, unless what I wanted was a yes man jellyfish, but if I'm a successful business leader, I know that that's not going to really benefit my organization in the long run. Now, let's set all that aside. And you see these memes. I love memes because they tell us so much about everything. I mentioned one about the software developers finding their own softwares. It's been around for 2 years, and the company's requiring 5 years experience in it, stuff like that. And then you have, and this is one of the, this is one I see all the time. You can tell my intellectual junk food is reading this stuff. It has the job thing that where you apply for the job online has you upload a PDF of your resume. Then it rejects it three times because of the resolution. You keep re-rendering your PDF till you finally get it right. And as soon as it finally accepts your PDF, it then walks you through a series of fields where you have to write that information in again. So
I think it's a great question. I think what I would recommend for anyone, and I think it's an easy thing because it's not like an either or thing, but what I would simply say is, you know, because everyone faces a situation like that one time or the other, I would say if you're looking at that, fine, okay, whatever they're asking you to do, okay. At the same time, anyone can do this, pull up LinkedIn and just ask yourself, you could run a simple search, you could do it using the normal free version of LinkedIn. Yep. Run a search for people who are currently employed at that company. Run a search at the C-suite level. That would be CXO. That's the actual seniority term that you want to put in there in LinkedIn. And you want to ask yourself, okay, based on what I'm doing, right? What is, and again, this is where some thought and honestly some coaching probably in the eyes of most people would be helpful because the breadth of who you can reach out to is in many ways a direct reflection of the work you've already done in owning the highest possible level of an offer. So in other words, using that, going back to that HR thing, if I say, look, I grow businesses using a hyper people-centric process that over-delivers across A, B, and C, if those A, B, and C is like the talent side, but also the operations and the strategy side, then in the C-suite level at this company, I could be looking at not just the CEO, chief strategy officer, chief growth officer, chief people officer, people one step down, all of these people. Now, what I can say is, based on who I see here, is there a short list of at least two or three people that I'm looking at, I would respect this person anyway, I'm actually a little intimidated by this person anyway? Yes, this is. What I can certainly do is I can, and I want everyone to think about this, LinkedIn is not a one-off. There, you would never have, and for those of you who have a spouse, imagine sitting down for that first date and the first thing you said was, man, I'd really love to sleep with you, right? That's what most people are doing on LinkedIn, right? You want to take a different approach to these people. You want to say,
oh okay, my God. Yeah. How many connection requests do I accept? I did a whole training on this for my own mastermind program.
Yeah.
This whole thing about dominating the DMs and the right way to do it. I have a little tactic that I use. And when I eventually get to ask the question I wanted to ask for you fired off again, which is fantastic, by the way, I was thinking to myself, you know, I accept all these connection requests. And the first thing I get is, hi, I was checking out your profile and I noticed we had several connections in common and blah, blah, blah. It's like, what?
Yeah, just think about
it. Oh, you want me to read your special report too?
Well, the problem here, and again, I think the issue here a little bit, and I want to challenge you on a little bit, Adam, is anyone can succeed at this, and you know you do not need to be an expert at it, but yes, you do have to have an idea of what you want. Right?
Yeah.
So if I say, look, I'm reaching out to Adam and 20 other people in this sector because I'm looking to make an impact here, what is the goal for these people? If the goal is a call, if the goal is, look, I want to go do a conversation with you, I do not think the goal should be sharing a piece of information or a resume or anything like that because you're not at that stage. But so if the goal is a call, then how do I move someone like you from a place of the initial interest that made you say yes to that LinkedIn request into a place where you might be receptive, right? So
that's
a series of messages, thinking about what that value might be to that person and moving it into a place where they can say, and I think this is absolutely critical, the pretext behind why we talk, it has got to be as equals. It has got to be something that says, look, I'm giving up 30 minutes of my paid time. I'm giving up time right now having a conversation with you and your listeners. There's a it's not, and I think I just want to be clear here because I want everyone listening to this to take this into every interview, okay? Through the questions that you ask, including hopefully a couple of questions in any interview that you ask that makes it clear you have your own standards about what you're looking to work with, who you're looking to work with here. The more you do that, the more your authority is going to be reaffirmed, and the more there's going to be a reason for you in that call to show up as an equal. That's really key, to say, okay, look, I'm giving up time, you're giving up time. Why are we giving up time? Is it for some kind of bamboozlement or me trying to sneak away to a job? No. It can literally be something as simple as, Adam, I noticed that we have this clear commonality here. I think that there's a parallel. This is what I'm working on right now. I think there'd be a lot of mutual benefit in us talking together. What do you think? And moving it from there. Maybe you say yes, maybe you don't. But the question is, if I can move this into a strategy where everyone who is experiencing the urgent pain that I solve is moving into a call, and for those who don't, I'm still fostering the key things that we want to do: authority, scarcity, that unique value. If I'm bringing that in, then I'm always going to have that ability to nurture this relationship and move it forward, right? But again, most people, when they're in a job search mode, they don't feel comfortable. Like, if I went through like a multi-stage interview process with you, we got along really well, there's real intrinsic value to us staying in touch. But if you rejected me for the job, most people are like this, I'm not going to feel comfortable staying in touch with you, right? I'm going to feel like, oh, there's something else. That has to change, you know? Like we've got to start bringing all the job search time. This is true. I don't care if you're fresh out of college, if you have 30 years of experience. Everyone out there, job search time is paid time that you are forgoing the money for as an investment to that next opportunity. It is paid time. Every minute is paid. And if you, which means that if you're spending 3 hours, 4 hours preparing away from your kids, and then you're spending an all day interview, that's 8 to 10 hours that you just gave up for an opportunity. Please tell me that you came in with your own criteria of information that you needed to find, right? And please tell me, Adam, by the way, tell me that when push comes to shove, what you're going to have is something better than just a hack, right? What you're going to have is something that has some real substance there, right?
I'm with you. So
I hope so.
Yeah, so I have a way of connecting with people on social media, and it's incredibly simple. This is something, and I've tried so many different strategies, and this is the one that has built so many more connections for me, opened so many conversations, introduced me to so many opportunities, brought me within a range of so many decision makers, and this has worked better for me than anything else I've ever done. It's real simple. Make the connection request. Hey, love connect. Great to connect with you. I have a podcast. I'm looking for guests. Are you interested?
Yeah, What is the acceptance rate and the call rate been for you using that?
I don't have my spreadsheets right in front of me, but I'm familiar with the broad numbers. About 70% of the time, about 70% of the time, the minimum answer is, yeah, maybe. Tell me more. I can tell you that approximately 30 to 35% of those become recorded interviews within 30 days.
That's awesome, man.
Here's the secret, and it's very simple. You're putting reciprocity up front. And what I mean by that is, I'm inviting you to my platform. I'm going to celebrate your success with you, and we're going to have a conversation. We're going to get to see a bit of your intersection of your brilliance and your passion. Plus, rather than be within the frame of a networking call or a get to know you, where we compare notes and all that, we can have the same conversation, but it's more free flowing.
Yes.
And, maybe we do business in the green room 5 minutes after we're done with the recording. Mm-hmm. Maybe we do business 6 months from now. Maybe I return the favor some more by being on your podcast. Mm-hmm. There's so many different next steps. And particularly, and I like to say that glaciers move a lot slower than pebbles. So when you're going for the high ticket opportunities, the big money deals, they often require more than a 15-minute let's hop on Zoom real quick. What better way to get that conversation going than to have a conversation? I mean, my elite reacher, typical one takes 3.5 months to close, simply because it is a very high ticket offer. And although the investment from the client side it's financially higher, in terms of actual work they do, it's kind of moderate. It's just the fact that it represents such a significant shift in how they themselves do networking, client attraction, celebrity expert branding, it requires a bit of a back and forth and a bit of a churning of the thought process to get them there.
You know, I understand that, but I don't actually agree with that. I gotta respectfully disagree with that. Not as someone who understands your zone, which I will never do in the way that you do. But I will say, in my zone, I will say that when I started out, I was writing cover letters and stuff for $50 a pop.
That's what I paid for mine.
We're operating in a completely different strata, but I will tell you that the people I do business with and chat with the most every day are exactly now the people that you're talking about. And what I will tell you is, it is not possible for people at that level to have the luxury, same as with me, to take 5, 6, 7 to draw it out. What happens and what people forget about, okay? It's the behavior part, the signals that you're sending out, and how you do business is everything. And one of the big things that I realized as I started going out, I was like, no way can there be, you know, yes, of course, 15 minutes. Can I negotiate a 6 or 7 figure job offer in 30 minutes? Probably not. You know,
no.
I'm probably going to need, but do I need more than 2 or 3? Probably not. Because buddy, at a certain point, there's going to come a point where, Adam, we don't need to talk about anything else. There's nothing for us to talk about right now that does not require money exchanging hands and us going into that confidential realm. We're done. We're at the level. And it's my job as an expert to also clue you in when we are at that place, right?
Right.
If I don't know how to do that, okay, and I'm not saying this is the case here, but I'm saying this in a lot of the job seekers I work with, okay? There's such an intrinsic sense of these people are so different from me, and also, there sometimes is a bedrock insecurity about the value of my offer and what I can do. So ergo, this is so fancy in my life. This is so crazy in my life. We got to stretch this out. A lot of times, a lot of that can be avoided by having one or two uncomfortable moments in that moment where we say, hey, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? Like, you've been trying to solve this problem For 13 months, you've had to let go of 30% of your workforce, and you're telling me you need to run it up the flagpole to see whether this makes sense or not? Shouldn't you be jumping into any kind of a solution right now? Aside from having to, again, tell another 30% of these people that they're not going to be getting a Christmas bonus? What are we talking about here? There's a wavelength of leadership that once you start radiating that, once you start keying into that, the big dogs always understand, oh, okay, this is someone like me. This is someone who is also like me, so I can give the reciprocal, exactly like you said, the reciprocity thing. It works both ways, but only when I trust that you're a member of my tribe, not someone who's trying to become or do business with a member of my tribe, but a true member of my tribe. When you're that, then I'm going to drop those rules that you're talking about. And I'm saying this because it's been an obsession of mine, because working with these leaders, high level people, all this has been a lifelong dream of mine, because there's a part of me that feels like I don't belong there. But what I realized is I don't need to be like them. I just need to figure out those parts of myself that convert into an absolute stranglehold in the right situation there. And then I don't need anything else. In fact, from then on, everything that makes me different from you is a selling point. It's one other thing that is going to make you say, oh my God, I never thought about solving this problem. But now that if I say no, it's no longer saying no to Adam or saying no to Anish. It's saying no to that part of myself, which is a leader who has the potential to solve it. That is devastating. That results in an offer almost way more often than it doesn't, right? But you've got to... They're just people. They're just, dare I say it, morons like all of us, okay? They're just people. There's nothing special. I don't know, man. There's nothing special. They're all people. Maybe they figured out a way to leverage what they do a little bit smarter than you did right now, or in a different way. So what, dude? Big deal, man. Like, they all take a crap. They all, you know, get into arguments like, can we stop with this bloviating and this worshiping, dude? My God, dude, they're just flawed people. Get on with the business of helping people if you have something to offer. Please get on with it. We're waiting. It's game on. It's game on. The average uptick when we work with people is 33% across over 2K clients. That's one offer. And we've seen people go 3X, 5X. So it happens all over the place. And no, they didn't get a different degree or figure out some hack, but they did figure out, hey, there's something here that people are not talking about. There's a pain here. You know, one other thing that people can use is a concept we call paint a common enemy. You might obviously, without naming names, have seen some very, very prominent people in the political arena who are masters at this. Painting a common enemy. What does that mean? You're worried about ageism? Okay, paint a common enemy. You're worried that you don't have as much experience as someone else in your industry? Paint a common enemy. All that means is, if you stand for a right way, there has got to, by the very logic of that, be a wrong way. So when you're challenged about, hey, you know what? You got 7 years, we'd really prefer 9. The right question here and the right rebuttal is not some dumb answer about why your 7 years is the same as 9, right? The right answer is to ask yourself, why are we asking this, right? What do we need here, right? And I understand why thinking that spending 40% of your time on this aspect of marketing is going to do it. I can tell you and I can point to you it's not. In other words, I'm showing you why. The error here is not why I don't have an additional 2 years, 3 years, whatever, right? What I'm showing you is your fundamental methodology is flawed. The fundamental way, at the deepest way that you are looking at this problem is wrong, Adam. And there is no way that you're going to be able to solve it on your own. Otherwise, you would have. That needs to happen. If that's not happening at the beginning, stop trying to prove anything about the role, because you're not at that place. Like, you're not at a place where I'm going to go into an offer, because you haven't earned that with me yet. We haven't gotten to the truth. And you should assume you're not starting from a truthful place. Assume that. Assume you're starting from a surface place. The same thing in a first date. You know, you're dressed up nice and all this other stuff. They don't know your moods. They don't know your depressive episodes. They don't know all of that other stuff, right? That good stuff is going to come later. Fine. But go into that interview with the awareness of the light and the dark side, no?
Yeah, I would say so. So, essentially,
or I guess, you know, try it some other way, right? I see them all. Show me a better way. Show me a way where the other way works better. I'm listening. I'm all ears.
Well, you know, we could have spent our time together speaking about how to revise your resume, or how to what have you, or have the typical how to find a job type conversation. But I think that at least what I'm hearing here for our listeners, whether it's going for a job, landing a deal, whatever it is, it involves selling yourself and getting somebody to yes, gonna make a yes decision in your favor, has to do with a few very key elements, which you've expounded upon at very passionate length. So what I want to do here with the time we have left here, we have a few minutes, is I want to sort of mate some of the work that I do with, and I have a feeling you're going to have a really interesting take on this. We spoke about resumes. We spoke about cover letters. I've been saying for about 2 years, and I've had the opportunity to prove this at least a few times so far, is that in this day and age, your published book is your resume, and your podcast is your cover letter. And these are the thing. And having these types of assets, and you can make substitutions. But the idea is that when you use these platforms to share your unique formula, your unique methodology, what makes you the special person who has the answer to this question, different from everybody else who's revising their resume with every job they apply for. What do you think of that statement?
Well, I think that there's some real truth to that, and I think, you know, because I don't want to go weak on the practicality here, to jump off of what you're saying with regards to the resume, a simple thing that any of you listening can do, instead of trying to make the resume sound like the job posting, take what I've just been talking about, exactly like you said, at length, about branding yourself around a process. Use the first third or first half of that resume as a showcase for that. In other words, have a branding statement that goes to a process. Have some opening lines that, before you get into anything having to do with your experience section, goes towards that unique way of change, the unique methodology behind a little bit of that way. And in when it comes to the experience section, I would say delete anything that you can find in a job posting, because the assumption is if you're anything other than a mouth breather, you know how to do those things. What I'm interested in, even if the role has no more than two lines, three lines in it, what I want to know, preferably in alignment with that process that we're talking about in that first third, is what in this role went to that? What in that role was a value add? How did that move it forward? Any role that does not move into that either needs to get minimized or otherwise controlled, right? So anyone can do that. So when it comes to the podcast, yeah, I think that's a great way to look at it. I think for people that I'm out there with, for those who, I think evergreen assets, whether they are podcasts, whether they are a website, a YouTube channel, whatever, those all have a role. What I would say is, when it comes to what you're putting out there, Stop promoting and start helping, because that actually doesn't change. The only difference between me, talking with someone for an hour and getting acclimated with that, and me working with someone over a period of multiple weeks or multiple months, is the depth of it. But the intensity and the expectation actually doesn't change. So I would say, whether it's engagement, whether it's a podcast, whatever, just start helping people, because those people who are going to get immediately helped will be your word of mouth. And those people who are going to become your clients, they will demand nothing less than you and only you working with them. So you don't have to worry about throwing your pearls before swine. You can just get on with the business of it. Now, when it comes to that resume, what I would say is hold it in reserve. Treat it as something precious. Stop publishing it on your resume, on your LinkedIn profile. Stop giving it away like a $2 prostitute, basically, okay? Treat it like something valuable. What does that mean? Ideally, what we should be focusing on here is building the relationship. You could use LinkedIn for something like that, or anything else you want. Build the relationship, get a little dialogue first, and ideally that resume comes into play as a way to deepen and turn a general conversation, an exploratory conversation, into a serious one. In other words, the impetus of the resume should not be to start the conversation, because that's what your mouth and lips and brain are for. The purpose of the resume should be to deepen. So when I look at this, it's like, oh, gotcha. All of the good stuff I was thinking about Adam here, it's reinforced 5, 10, 15 times as I look at this journey that, again, is not trying to be something it's not. It's not trying to pretend that it's me. It stands for something. It has a point of view. Okay, that's the critical thing that I would say. And you're right, resume tips are great if you have a point of view. LinkedIn tips, interviewing tips are great if you have some balls and some courage and you understand what you're trying to do. But let's also stop pretending to put the cart before the horse here. None of those things are going to save you from the human to human dance that's going on here. And if you're not willing to meet me at that dance, you have no reason to be going after what you want. So let's start by walking. Let's start by going deep here. And we can all afford to go deep, I think, in that way. That's one thing certainly that I've taken away from this conversation as much as anything else, brother.
Well, yeah. And I can tell you, I think that the biggest thing that I've gotten out of this is that it's really about, and we can look, our listeners can go back, subscribe to the Business Creators Radio Show, listen to this again and again. I encourage all of our listeners to re-review this one at least twice, because you're going to listen to it three different times. You're going to be in three different places when you do it, and you may pick up three different messages that can really move you forward here. It really comes down to differentiation, however you want to define that. So what I want to do is I want to make sure that our listeners are aware, first of all, of your website, which is www.helloanish.com, helloanish.com, and you can discover so much more there. And while you're there, one thing I'd love you to check out is Anish has some great free resources, one of which is a training on the exact five-step system that clients use to land dream roles 75 to 85% faster than average. You'll see buttons and links for it on that webpage. Also, check out if you're on www.businesscreatorsradioshow.com, look at the notes beneath this episode, and you'll see it listed there as well. So with that, I got to say, Anish Majumdar, thank you so much for possibly one of the most unique conversations we've had on this show in a while. It's been an honor, and believe me, an education.
Thank you, brother. I really, really appreciate it, Adam. And please keep doing what you do to keep exposing us to these amazing and inspiring voices, man. It's been awesome.
We trust you enjoyed today's episode of the Business Creators Radio Show. Check out our previous and upcoming episodes on our website at www.businesscreatorsradioshow.com. While you're there, be sure to subscribe via your favorite network so you get fresh episodes delivered straight to you. Until next time, have a great day. Take care.